any experience at all.
Blog Talk Radio.
My lifesaver at all. But here's what you should know. I'm also one of the least likely people to have ever have any experience with the Scandinavian culture. And I do. Why? Because here's the thing. Here I am, this 20-something-year-old coming off of being homeless, meet my best friend who's also the producer that set this interview up, Linda. Linda Fiering. Fiering. You see that? That's like a Norwegian name, just saying. And then her parents take me in, and her dad, Bjorn. Bjorn Fiering. Well, here we call him Bjorn Fiering. Okay, whatever you might call him. We used to call him Bummer. But the point is this. What did I learn? See, this is a show about the life, because this is the book. This is the in-between series. But you see, every one of us has the ability to move beyond what we think our limitations of life are. Now, I will tell you, there's a lot more that goes on to this story, what I learned from this amazing man. He became my father. What I learned about this culture, what I learned about, and I'm going to butcher this, so I apologize. Sagar, I apologize, like right up front. Okay. I learned how to make an incredible bread called julekaka. That's my version of how to say it. It is Norwegian, and I learned it from a person that I never thought I'd ever meet. Why am I sharing this? Because what I want to say today, it doesn't matter where you come from. It doesn't matter who you are. What matters is how we show up in life, and that's what my guest is about today. Recognized teacher, international speaker, business psychology consultant. Oh, my gosh, that is more courage than I have. Like decades of experience with that. I got to get some tips. But the in-between series, right, this is her crown jewel. This is the trilogy. This is the thing we're going to talk about today. Because if you've ever heard the words, the in-between or in-between, what comes to your mind? What do you think about? What is it that from a different perspective you stop and say, I think I get that. I think I am that. But how do you become more aware? And that's what we're going to talk about, because today you're going to get to meet somebody absolutely incredible. But even more importantly, look at this. Micah, can you get this? Is that beautiful? Like, can you see the book? Can you see the cover? This is a novel. But is it really? Welcome to the show. It's so great to have you here.
Thank you so much. What an incredible introduction. So interesting. So, you know, a little bit about Scandinavian culture. Not all. I think I could teach you a few things, but well done.
You could teach me a lot. I didn't even go into what this man who came into my life taught me. And I want to tell you what he did teach me, and this is how I want to start the show. I grew up as a very troubled child. This man taught me about character building and integrity. And it took him a while. Okay, I'm not saying I was easy back then. But he taught me how to stay calm under pressure. He taught me how to be diplomatic. And, you know, when I'm here with you and we're getting ready to talk about this book and we're talking about this beautiful story and we're talking about what does it mean to decide things? Do you come? Do you go? Do you stay? Do you return? Do you stay? Do you go back? Do you go to the next thing? Right? I don't mean to be summarizing a few things here, but these are the questions we have in our lives right now. So the timing of what you've done and the timing of this book, to me, is a representation of where people are. So I want to ask you this. You have done so much. This is a highly creative it's a great, great book. I want to know, has it always been this easy for you? What are some of the challenges? What are some of the obstacles you had to overcome to bring you here to this very moment?
There's been so many obstacles, I tell you. You know, I haven't had an easy life either. And I think, you know, for me to write a book like this and the other two books that's in the series, I need to go through nearly everything in it. I haven't been in a coma, but I remember when I published the first book, somebody came up to me and said, you know what, somehow you have been in a coma because you were asleep when you were a producer in television, you know. So you woke up and you left television and you became a writer. So somehow, you know, I have been in a coma. And as you say, people, I mean, we're all in between something all the time, but my obstacles, you know, first of my greatest obstacle has been to open my heart.
Oh, yeah.
From my background, I mean, I come from a beautiful family, but the way I was brought up, the closest we got to each other was a handshake. So, you know, there was always a distance. There was always this polite, and my father taught me that we should always think about other people before ourselves. And, you know, in Scandinavia, we have this lore that we all live by, and it kind of goes, don't think that you're better than anybody else.
Oh, yeah.
So it kind of keeps us all down. You cannot shine. You cannot tell how great you think you are. You cannot tell anybody, you know, about your ideas or what you want to do in life. If I told anybody, oh, I want to be an international bestseller author, people go, I mean, why don't you just sell your books in Denmark, you know? Why do you want to go international? So that's how it is. And I really struggled with that a lot because I always felt different. And I started my career in television. And, you know, when I was there, I was highly successful on the outside. And people thought, oh, I'm going to have a great career. And I really did have that. But something was missing. And that was probably the first and most important change in my life. That was leaving the television business and just trying to figure out what is it that's missing in my life. And then I went on a search to open my heart, to get in touch with myself, to begin this spiritual journey, because up until then, I didn't believe in anything, really. The closest I got to anything spiritual was to go and have a massage, you know, and that's not very spiritual at all. So you know, it was a huge journey for me for about 10 years where I just looked in and had all these discoveries about myself and my emotions. And I could explain emotions, but I couldn't feel any emotions in my body. I was so shut down from my upbringing. That it took a lot of time to get in touch with myself and with my emotions. So it's been a journey for sure. It has.
And boy, that was a perfect description, because when I think about Bjorn and I think about Linda and her family, you just described them. The good news is Joan, Linda's mom, was Irish. So then you put those two together and you're going to get something. And then for me, of course, I entered the game, you know, from being born in New York City. So I had a strong sense of self, even though it was misdirected, right? But the reason I related to what you were saying is we face these challenges. You face these challenges, and you had to step up and decide who you were going to be in life.
For sure, right. For sure. It was a conscious decision that, yeah, I could feel half of me is missing. And as soon as I realized, I mean, I could keep going, but I would never be happy. Every time I went home from my work, I felt this emptiness and this loneliness. And it was like I was pulled into this black hole. So I just had to work harder and harder and harder, you know, to stay away from this sensation in my body. But also in that sensation there was a calling, and as long as I was busy I couldn't hear it. And as soon as I stopped, it was like this beautiful tone came through to me that I could suddenly listen to the melody from my heart, and I could open up and start to live a totally different life. And many, many, many people around me were shocked. And That's how it is when you change direction in life.
It is. I mean, and we go through the shock. But, you know, see, that's what I love. So first of all, look, one of the things I want to make sure people know, this is one, it's a trilogy. Is that the right word? Did I get that right?
Yeah, it's a series. Okay. There might be more. There might be more than three.
I think there might be more, because I'm thinking there should be more. But I don't want to just say that. I don't want to just put that pressure on you.
Oh, thank you.
But I can I talk about the titles for a minute? Because
absolutely,
if I can't talk about the titles, I can't get to the in-between that we're talking about.
You're
and
welcome.
What that means. Thing that saved me from being alive and dead, homeless and believing, was hope. So this book, there's a book, and I think Mike is going to show your website and show the books. It's called The Hope, The Ring, The Life. When I saw this, I know I'm going to talk to you about this book. Trust me, I'll get to it. But there's something bigger operating here that I wanted you to talk about. Because if I just talk about this one book, it's great. But there's something bigger here. And I wanted to ask you, is there something bigger here, or am I just off on a tangent?
There is something bigger here.
Okay.
Not bigger, and also bigger than me. You know, the way the books came to me was quite extraordinary. I was coming home from India, went to India to teach in a meditation center, and sitting on the plane, I was looking out the window, and suddenly I feel my body started to shiver, and I feel this cold sensation running down my spine. And I'm sitting there going, what is happening? Am I sick? What is going on? And in front of me, I suddenly see this, what appears to be like a movie screen. And on this movie screen, I see images, and I also see a plane crash, which is not that great when you're on the plane, really. But and I look around the plane and go, am I the only one seeing this? And everybody else, they were like looking at their tablet or asleep. And I'm just watching all these glimpses of this story. And I'm going, wow. At that stage, I left my job in television. I didn't know what I was going to do. I decided to wait because I'm a fast mover, so I could easily make up a new job or just, you know, look for something else. But I decided I didn't want to do that. I just wanted to wait and see what was meant to be. And sitting there, I just had this feeling, this is the story I'm going to share with the world. And then it disappeared, and the sensation in my body disappeared. And I grabbed my laptop and I started writing. And I probably wrote about 8 lines, and I can just hear in my head my voice going, this is definitely going to be 3 books. Oh, I'll figure it out. And at that stage, I never wrote a novel before. I wrote 2 nonfiction books, but I didn't have a clue how to write a novel. But I went home and started to write, and every day I sat down, I just asked out in the universe what's going to happen today, and the story just unfolded. Mm. So it is bigger.
Yeah.
It is bigger, and you can read the story as an entertaining story, but you also fall through the layers, and that's what you're talking about. That's the layers of
that
the
is.
Book.
Yeah. That is what I'm talking about. You know what I'm really struck by? I'm really struck by this, and I know you could not have predicted this, or maybe you could have. Maybe you could have, because, you know, I think you and I have something in common. We get these vision and premonitions, right, about something that has to come. And that's how the network got born. When the vision came to me to create the Transformation Network with minimally 10 channels, and that's what we're launching next, you know, we're starting to launch in September. I had the vision, but I didn't have, like, the wherewithal. I was like you. I was like, I've never done this before. But then I knew how to do it. So I wanted to ask you this question, because when you wrote these, right, we were not where we are today.
Yeah.
Okay. But the similarity of what's happening in the world today and with people literally could be the character out of the book. We could take the character out of the book. And anybody right here now would relate to it. And let me tell you what I mean and what I want you to really talk to. There is a phrase going around right now about trying to explain why so many people are resigning from their jobs. They call it the great resignation. I call it the great resurrection. But see, isn't this what you're talking about here? And especially when we're talking about the life, but the idea of facing massive decisions and you being able to bring it forward in this beautiful character, it was pulling on my heart. Like, can you talk to that? I know you meant to do that. Thank you for that, by the way.
Thank you. Yes, I think, you know, the essence of the book is to really watch ourselves and ask ourselves, am I living the life that I want to live? Am I following my heart? Can I actually hear my heart? Am I true to myself? Am I making choices that are good for me, for the world, for nature, for human beings? So not in a selfish way, but in a way where we can be connected with each other and we can be good to each other. But we have to stop and ask ourselves this question, because a lot of people are postponing their lives. We're waiting for somebody else to save us. We're waiting for something to happen. We're waiting for somebody to see us or to ask us to do something or whatever it is. A lot of people are waiting, and the book is about just paying more attention to what we have, the small things, like if you're sitting with your child, what is this, the tiny smell of your child? You know, I had, had people writing me saying, you know, I never noticed how my child smells. This sweet little person, I never sat there being a totally present, breathing, and just staying in tune with my child. So we're busy with our phones, we're busy with achieving things on the outside, getting more money or posting things online or whatever it is, instead of saying, I need to be here right now. What makes me happy? What is it my soul wants me to do? And there's nothing right or wrong. It's not like we all have to be saving the world or whatever it is. Being a good dentist, being a good mother, being a good caretaker, we all have different purposes. But we have to stop to be able to find out what is it that matters the most in my life, and we have to start prioritizing it, because one day it will be too late. And we all see that every single day. For some people, it is too late.
Yeah. And, you know, that's really why I wanted to talk to you about it. And, you know, for those of you that are just tuning in, really what I'm talking about is this is the book that I'm referencing at the moment, but there are three books, and I know Micah is putting up the images on Facebook. I love to be able to read something, especially like a novel. And just to know a little bit about me, I could not read or write until I was about 30 years old, because I grew up really different, learning different. So when I get my hands on something like this, I hang on every word. You know, things like when Luke says, I know who God is. It's so like I'm like, oh, okay, Luke, okay, right? But the messages, and there's so many in just this one book, and I know there are other two books and people have to know, and I'm going to make sure that folks know how to get the book. But I was really struck with how absolutely difficult the decision to decide, do I go back? I mean, or do I stay? Now, I don't want to give out the whole story, but we should tell people a little bit about it. Because the idea of do I go back or do I stay, it is the conundrum of our ages right now. Massive amount of people are plugged into social media because they cannot decide. They are in the in-between 24/7, and they look for outside sources. But let's tell folks a little bit about what this means, especially when we're talking about making these tough decisions. As with this spirit, you know, travel to a place unknown, right? This in-between, and all of us go there, right? Don't we?
I think we do. We do. Yeah.
And so when you were writing this, and you told this story, and you told the story in all three books, what are some of the things that you could think about from the characters in the book that changed you in writing it? Because I know reading it, I got to tell you, like I'm reading this and I'm like, oh my gosh, you know, like she was like, when she wrote this book, she was like in my brain. That's what I thought about, because there are points right now that I think about that so many people are really stuck. Stuck is my word, right?
Yeah. And stuck is a good word. And, you know, I think when we bring it all down to the essence, what we have left is fear or trust. And that is really, everything comes down to, do I fear what I'm about to do, or do I trust what I'm about to do? The choices, we have a choice in every single moment of our lives. And when we become aware of that, we can make conscious changes. And we can ask ourselves, I do this all the time. Whenever I have to make a decision in my life, I ask myself, am I making this decision from fear or from trust? It can come down to small things in my life, you know. If I'm if somebody's calling me saying, do you want to do this assignment? And ask myself, do I do it? Do I say yes from fear, from trust? If I say yes, it's because I can feel I can bring something to this person. If I say no, it's because I trust that somebody else will call me too and ask me to do something else for them, you know? So also with the whole process of this book, because I'm a fast mover and I like to get things done really, really fast. With the first book, it didn't take me more than 5 months to complete it. Of course, I had to edit it as well. And then I wanted to move on to the next book, but the universe wouldn't let me because it wasn't ready. And I was about to struggle. And I asked myself, why is it so important to write this second book straight away? And the fear said, because maybe people don't want to buy the first one or read the first one if you don't have the second one, you know. And the trust say, you have to wait until it's ready. And you know what? The hope wasn't ready until December 2019. I waited. I began writing The Life in 2008. It was completed. So for 14 years, I waited and I waited and I waited. And every single day, there hasn't been one single day where I haven't thought about the book, where I haven't asked the universe, is this the day where I'm going to begin to write again? And in December 19, I could just feel that everything I needed in order to write, because I have a lot of conversations with the universe, you know, because I need time and I need money to write. And also I need to learn a few things. In between, I got married and divorced twice. So there was a little bit of learning for me there. But in December 19, I decided I could just feel this is it, you know. So I booked a holiday house. I sat down for 2 weeks and the flow just began again. And then, you know, I was in the book. I was in the story, the hope. And then, you know, I had to go back and teach. And I thought, this is not good. I need to continue. But I had the whole, you know, all my calendar was full of bookings with companies I had to go and teach in. And then came COVID-19. And off went all my bookings, and I had time to complete The Hope. And it was the same, you know, for like, I think for 10 years, I didn't have the title for the third book. And people kept asking me, what is the title? I don't know, but I will tell you when I know. And then as soon, you know, one day it just, you know, it just came to me. It's The Hope. As long as, you know, at the same time, the image on the front page comes as well. Oh. They all come together.
So beautiful.
Yeah, thank you. And I, you know, the 2 days ago, the title of the fourth book came to me, but I'm not going to tell you
it
is.
No, I was going to say, don't say it.
No,
we'll bring you back for a special announcement for it.
Yeah.
But the reason I wanted you to explain this is because I'm about to say something before we go to break. You know, I read a lot of books. I've been doing this, you know, for a long time, and I read everybody's book. But there are very few books that I read that I really just break down and just cry. Now, I'm not saying that this is a bad thing in this book, because it's not. And I'm not going to tell you all exactly where this began for me, but I will tell you, as I started to come to the end of this book, and the one that I have in my hand is called The Life, everybody. And I started to, and you follow this beautiful story, and we'll talk more about the story when we come back. But why would somebody like me cry? And I'll tell you why. Because even though this is a novel, the experiences in this book, and I hate to even call them characters, but this experiences in the book, the way you've written it, everything from having a visualization of pictures being taken down from a wall, I was gone by that point in the book. But I had an understanding of it. And so what you've been able to do is tap into an emotional aspect of where we are right now in humanity coming out of COVID. And we are not out of COVID, and that's part of the dilemma. We are still in the in-between. Before we go to break, please tell people how they can get a copy of this book, all the books, everything, all the books, and how they can find out more about you.
You can get the book on Amazon. You can go into Barnes & Noble. Any bookstore, you can actually get the book. And you have to read The Life first. It's very, very important. to read the life first, then the ring, and last the hope. You can also get them as audiobooks on Audible, which is really great. I love them as audiobooks. I listen to all of them myself, which is really, really great. And you can get in touch with me on all social media, sagaconstantine.com, or on Instagram, Facebook, wherever you are online, I'm there too.
Yeah. Sorry, but what we're going to do is we're going to take a short break. And what I'm going to tell everybody, when you go there, you can get various versions of these. The audiobooks are great. You can also get them on Kindle. I have a Kindle account. That's, of course, where I get them from. But the audio version I love because you get to really feel this. You get to be in this. But I will tell you, Saga, I will tell you this. The most important part, I was so struck by your words. The words you used and how you used them through these characters. So when you said part of your journey was opening up your heart, it is very clear to me that that's it. When we come back, why do you get the life first? Why don't you just jump to the other ones? Well, we're going to tell you why in a minute and why this is so important to really think about it, because if you're like me, you're going to get one, you're going to read that one, then the next one, then the next one. But there's a reason. You see, we are in the story of our lives right now. What is it about what Saga wrote that was so premonishing? What was it about this, and why is it so relatable? Let's take a short break, Benny. Micah will be right back.
Does your life often feel like an emotional tsunami where rogue waves crash down on you, leaving you feeling hopeless and wondering if it will ever end? Do you wish to awaken the dormant strength inside of you? Imagine what it would be like to turn your pain into purpose. Start today by scheduling a complimentary consultation with Martinet. Dive into your healing journey and begin to see your life in a new light. Visit martinetemmons.com and make your appointment today. Whenever you start worrying or doubting, or whenever the inner mean chatter starts to steal the show and calm just goes out the window, here's a quick 30-second practice that you can do at any time. I'm Claudia Pham, your Soul Connection Coach, host of the Be Happy Now show. Let's breathe out everything right now. And breathe in for four. One, two, three, four. Breathe out. Four, three, two, one. Breathe in and mentally say, I am. Breathe out. See the letters of the word calm dripping in front of your awareness. Breathe in, I am. Breathe out. Calm. There you go. For more of this, go to ClaudiaSMCoaching.com and click on Meditate.
Do you question what an authentic life really looks like? Tune in to The Alley Effect with Allison's Life, authentically living life your way. Every first and third Thursday at 1 p.m. Pacific on TransformationTalkRadio.com, where Allison Blythe brings you tools, resources, and actionable steps toward your very best life. Take responsibility for your own happiness. For more about Allison, visit Allison, A-L-L-Y-S-O-N, Blythe, B-L-Y-T-H-E.com.
Tune in to Spacious Unknowing Network, Communing with Your Soul, with Julio Rose and JoJo Rose, every Monday at 7 p.m. Pacific on TransformationTalkRadio.com. Let your heart beat in the rhythm of your soul and guide you to new horizons and unlimited, infinite love.
Join the new earth on the Cornelia Stephanie Show. Tune in each month as Cornelia takes listeners on an odyssey of higher consciousness to inspire, educate, and empower. Cornelia Stephanie is a spiritual teacher, passionate speaker, published author, and founder of the Empower Network. Cornelia guides people on the path of self-healing, peace, and liberation. For more information, go to CorneliaStephanie.com.
Wow. I think all of you that are listening through Benny and KKNW, you just got to hear the conversation that we just had. And when I think about this, and I want to emphasize this, there are three books, and we are talking about three, but this is the starting place. You start with the life. And that's the book I keep referencing most, although I am going to touch upon a couple of other things here. And the reason I say you start here, because the questions in the book, and 2008, is that when you said, when did the life come to you?
2008. It came to me in 2007. I completed it in 2008.
Okay. Yeah. So imagine this, everybody. 2008, right? Who are you? Where am I? I mean, see these questions, right, that are coming forward now? These are the questions that people are asking. Before we start to talk about the books again, I just would love for you to mention one more time how they find out about you, how they find out about your books, all of the above.
You can find me on all the social media with my name, Sakhar Konstantin, my website, sakharkonstantin.com, and the books you can find on Amazon, you can find them on Audible, and if you have Kindle Unlimited, you can definitely get them there for free as well. Yeah.
Sagar, here's the thing that I love. You asked me about this. There's, for those of you guys out there, this is as an audio version too. See, the audio version's kind of cool, right? I like the audio version because, you know, I just, when I'm sitting there, I just love to hear these stories because it'd be very different if you had selected language and words that weren't so descriptive, but no, that's not what you did. You know, through the book, you feel like you're there. When you open up a chapter and you say something like, the corridors are empty when I arrive, you could feel it. So you can feel this. And what I wanted to ask you about is there are three books here. The Life is the first, right? I wanted to talk a little bit about the journey of the characters for a minute. And we don't have to stay in the life, but I want to talk about the journey. And the reason I want to talk about the journey, and we certainly will not give away the book, is because the journey, as I see it, of these characters, and there are so many, and they're just amazing. Gosh, there's so many people that are 3 years of this and continuing. You couldn't have known that, like, practically, but you did know it, didn't you?
Well, you know, I didn't know the ending of, and actually there is no ending.
That's
actually.
Right.
So I was struggling a little bit with the ending because there's no ending. So, but you know, the journey of these characters unfold. In the beginning, you think the story is going one way in the life, and you feel the struggle of the main character, Eva, who's a journalist, and she's very much into her own belief system, what she believes in the world, what she thinks is right and what she thinks is wrong, and she's very... She's been living a life where she needed to achieve things, let's put it this way, to get recognition. And then she meets another character in the between, which was Thomas. And he's very much in balance with his feminine and his masculine side. And he's so different and provocative to her because he never tells her what to do. And he never answers her questions. And she's very much puzzled by him because it's really hard with a person like that because in a way she's drawn to him, but she's also in a way provoked by him. And but he also has his own process, which people will see in book number two and especially book number three. He has to work with himself as well. But her process is the most important one in book number one because that's where you really feel the struggle from being living an ordinary life.
Yeah.
You know, really, really, I think what people will find is that a lot of us can recognize ourselves in Eva. We
totally. Listed,
yeah. And we recognize the struggles, we recognize the fighting, we recognize the thoughts, and then I think we also recognize that we have to make choices, and the choices that she's going to make is just getting harder and harder and harder through the book, but we are making those choices every single day. We are making choices about, will I be busy with my own career, or will I be present with people who are important to me, for example. We make that choice every single day, and that's the choice she's going to make as well. Just a little bit different, let's say that.
Yeah. And, you know, what you're touching upon, and again, that first book and that you're really taking on that journey really sets it up with what's to come. But it really lays a groundwork for how every one of us goes through these really critical decisions every day. And we don't think they're critical, but they are. I mean, when we make a decision to spend time 60 hours doing something and not have any time left for anybody else, that's a critical decision about how we are spending our time on this earth, right? And you know, hopefully you catch that in enough time where you realize, wait a minute, this has got to change. Something's got to change. But I don't know what it is, and I certainly don't know how. And so I found in the books that, I don't know what to call them, that along the way there are characters that show up that are of assistance and also not of assistance. But in any event, what they are is they bring her to a next level, right? Is that correct assumption?
Absolutely, okay. Absolutely, yeah.
Yeah, and yet they're so interesting in themselves, you know? And so what I loved about this was this is what's been happening to us all along the way. You know, these 3 years, globally, all over the world, I don't think there's any country that has been exempt. These 3 years, we have gone through this, and maybe we haven't been in a coma, but I got to tell you, kinda.
Yeah.
Kinda.
Yeah, you could say that.
Yeah. Now,
yeah.
A lot of people lost a lot of lives in COVID, and I have friends and family in that range. But those lives that were lost were catalysts for waking things up in people like I've never seen before. Is that what you wanted to really say in this book, even though you didn't know about COVID? But it kind of reflected the way you described your own life a little bit.
Yeah. But, you know, I think I didn't know about COVID. And
no.
To be honest, I also had to change some of the things in the last book, because before COVID, I actually had, you know, a description of something like COVID. And I thought to myself, I cannot put it in here because people just think that I'm trying to be clever. I put it in before it happened, you know. So I took it out, but which was really strange, you know. But many people have had a struggle with COVID. And I think whatever we meet in life, we can learn from it. And there's always a learning from whatever we're touching base with in life. Mm-hmm. And from my perspective, I live by a saying that I call easy is right.
Yeah.
So whenever I go into something, if there's a struggle, I breathe and I watch it and ask myself, is this a struggle I need to be a part of? What is the learning here? And if I can see there's a learning, I'll stay put. But if I can see I'm just fighting to win, I'm fighting because my ego thinks I'm right here, I'm fighting, then I stop and ask myself, what is easy now? It's not that I don't take responsibility, but because that is so important to take responsibility. But I don't go into a fight. I always go with the easy, with the flow. So for me, easy is always right. And it's been the same with the books. It's been a flow. Whenever I tried to force the writing, it was a fight. Then I just stepped back, waited till the flow was back there. I had an experience some years ago when the financial crisis started. I was in a relationship and my partner had a holiday house. We couldn't get rid of it. It was really, really expensive. It was really tight with money, so I kind of said, you know, we have to do something. And we lowered the price, we changed the real estate agent, we did everything for 2 years, and it was really bad. Then suddenly a buyer came along, and it was in the winter. There was snow on the roof and in the garden and everywhere, and the buyer said, you know what, I want a report that everything is fine with the house, and that's including the roof. But we couldn't get them a report like that because there was snow on the roof. So I said to my partner, you know what, why don't we just go to the house, get up on the roof, and start to shovel down the snow. And we did. And I was up there with this heavy snow shoveling down from the roof, and suddenly I said to myself out loud, this is not easy. And, you know, and I said to my partner, I said, I'm getting off this roof because this is not right here. And we agreed. We got down. We waited. And I could just feel the fear that we would lose this buyer because we waited for 2 years. So I watched the fear, and I watched it, and I sat with it. And 2 weeks later, the snow melted. We could get a report on the roof. We got the contract. We were just about to sign it, and the real estate agent called and said, did you sign it? And we said, no, no, no. Okay, you know what? This morning I got another buyer, and he will give you $50,000 more than the other one. Do you want to go with that? And, you know, that actually meant that it equaled out so we wouldn't get any debt with this sale.
Yeah.
So if I had got the snow down from this roof, you know, it would have cost me a lot of money. So I always go with easy is right. And, you know, I think with what you're saying also with the COVID, we can choose to struggle or we can go with the flow and say it's here. We can't do anything about it. We don't know when it's going to disappear. We don't know what's next. There's a war in Ukraine. There's stuff happening in the financial world. We don't know. But what we can know is we can be true to ourselves and watch what does it do to me. What is my reaction? How can I take responsibility to live the life I feel like living, you know? That's what we can do. And I think that's really the message of the books as well.
Well, and you know what you just summarized, if I could, and I'm hesitating to do this, but that story you just shared and the essence of it is throughout all three books. The essence of really being a place, and you know, this is my language now, but we know, if you didn't know about what it meant to feel desperation, people felt that in COVID, right? Mm-hmm. If you didn't know what it felt like to be caught in a place where you didn't understand what the outcome could be, a lot of people learned that globally. People that never thought. And, you know, it's interesting that you took that out of your book because I was reading an interview that they did with Brad Pitt. And all of us that are World War Z fans, just saying, were disappointed. They were not going to do the second version of it. And the reason they weren't going to do the second version of it is why? Because that whole thing was about an epidemic, right? Mm. The whole idea about a zombie movie embedded in it was a message about biochemical weapons warfare, what was going on. It was like in the movie, right? It was a great movie. But the point was, the theme of that movie came when? Like before this. So, of course, a studio wouldn't pick it up where it left off because that second movie would have to be about how the zombie body recognized that the antidote wasn't going to work and the virus took off. Now, what does that sound like?
Yeah.
Well, but even you taking that out, here's where I am. What you just described in that story about the house breaks down what so many of us really have to remember, that we step into life and we could have a knowing and a purpose. And the difference between taking that knowing and doing what you did, writing these books, selling a home, getting off the roof, the difference between whether or not we're able to do it or not is about trust, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Trust
it is.
In the universe. Because that, I get that theme through the books, but even in your story, and I love this idea. I had a friend tell me a long time ago, if it's light, it's right. Mm-hmm. If it's not light, it just don't do it, right? But yet you have to face the decision as with the characters in a book, because don't you really see, you know, in the book when you wrote this, you put these people in situations where they have to decide, how does this feel? What am I going to do, right?
Yeah, yeah. And I tell you, it was a struggle to write it because, you know, when I write, I'm inside every single one of these characters to be able to describe the emotions. I have to feel every single emotion to be able to write it. And I think, you know, you began this interview or conversation with asking me with the struggles in my life.
Yeah.
If I didn't have had these struggles, I wouldn't have been able to describe all these emotions. So I'm grateful for every struggle in my life that taught me something, that brought me where I am, where I can go into these small sensations of describing emotions where people can relate, because a lot of people don't feel or cannot describe emotions, and the book can help us saying, oh, that's how I feel. Now I can recognize it. Now I can work with it. Now I can understand it. And that is important to me, you know?
Yeah. And look, as I said before, you are an international speaker. You're an expert in a field that, my gosh, you know, was so much part of my life, leadership, personal development, high performance team, positive psychology, EQ, motivation change. I mean, this is the whole aspect, you know, of how people see you in the world. And then the book is representative of not only you being that, but also you tapping into what the challenges are in you being that. Because honestly, I walked away from consulting, organizational consulting, because for me, it was, I didn't have the resilience to do it at the time. I didn't. I knew too much with my corporate career. But what I wanted you to share in the time we have left, and just a few minutes for everybody, I want to give them a little teaser, because these three books relate to each other. And I would love for you to just share as much as you can about the relationship between the three books and the main character, if you could share it.
Yes. Well, oh, it is hard, you know. I'll do my best here. It's the relationship between the books. Well, they start off with the life, with all these choices that have to be made by the character, and she's in between, which is a place in the clouds where you have all these beautiful things and all this help to look at yourself and look at your beloved ones on Earth. And with the choice that the main character is making, she is... Oh, can we say this?
But the choices she's making are really life-changing. They're life-altering. Does she stay or does she go? I'm going to put it in that simple language, because that's what people are deciding now. People are really like, do I stay in this relationship or do I go? Do I stay with my current life or do I go? Do I stay with my current job or do I go? Right?
And what we can say is that her choice opens up to a lot of possibilities that she never, ever imagined, and she didn't even believe existed. So it just opens up to more choices, more challenges, and things she got to deal with, which is not easy at all. I mean, if she thought the first decision was going to be hard, my God, the next one is going to be a nightmare. Let me just say that. Yeah.
Yeah. And, you know, and that's what I love about this, because we get to follow the journey. You know, we get to follow the journey and the story. And for those of you that are just tuning in, we're talking about three books, and I think Mike is showing you them. We're talking about The Ring, The Life, The Ring, and The Hope. We're talking about these. You'll be able to find them if you go to Amazon, and you'll be able to find them. And, you know, one is, and it's called the In-Between series, is book one, book two, book three, and there's probably going to be more. I would imagine there's got to be more. But, you know, part of this is the backstory of each of the books and how it really represents a journey for humanity, so to speak, right?
Yeah.
Even though we're fascinated by it and fascinated by the in-between, but the feelings that one gets from reading the book is feelings of this earth. You see what I mean?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's a journey that we're all on together, and some of us see it more clearly than others, but it is a journey we're all on together. So it is... These books really represent the time that we are in, and offers great advice and inspiration to look at ourselves and find out more of what is important to us.
I want to ask you this question. I am so curious. I want to know if you can share any part of it. What's on the horizon for you? I mean, the minute that I read these books, I'm thinking, okay, it's got to be like a Netflix series or something. Like, that's where my brain went to. I'm like, somebody has got to be able to pick this stuff up. This is like incredible, right?
Yeah.
But for you, I don't know if you can see out, where do you see the next level of excitement around these stories going?
I would love for them to become a Netflix series, no doubt about that, because I think it's somehow also meant to be. It's all there. It's you know, they just need to pick it up. I get really touched and excited when I talk to you, because I can feel you really get these books, and this is all I dreamt of, that people understand the book and get the message that I really wanted to bring forward, to bring more awareness to the world. This is my purpose in life, to bring more awareness to the world. And I hope there will be more books. I don't know, you know, because it's not my decision. So I'm in this place right now where I'm watching the journey of the books. I'm a servant of the books.
Yeah.
To you is my high priority. Life and light to the books is what I need to do now, and that's my job now, and that's what I'm doing.
Yeah.
So I will keep doing that and making sure that more and more people will actually be able to get the book. And one thing that is also important to me is that I decided to give the first book away for free. The life, people want to read it, they can actually go to my website and download it for free. They can get it for Kindle, PDF, whatever, because I just believe that the more people that read this book, the better place this world will be, hopefully.
Now, let's give people your website again, and then I'm going to give you my top list of who should play Eva.
Okay, yeah, great.
Okay, go ahead. Let's have your website first.
It's sagaconstantine.com, and you can find a download button there where you can get the book. Okay, I'm excited now.
Okay. All right. So the question mark for me is, and this is really, I didn't even think about this, but the question mark is, you get to decide the age of the main character. That's my interpretation. I got to decide her age, you see, right? Because we don't get that, but we get to decide. So when I looked, of course, we'd love to get Zendaya, but we're not going to get her because she's going to be in that other movie. But there are other people. Chloe Grace Moretz, she's been in a lot of movies, would be really good for this. Sophie Turner, Game of Thrones, Sophie Turner, right?
If we're
kind of in this group, and then you've got Naomi Scott, Joey King, some of these other people. So what I'm trying to say is, I decided for myself sort of a grouping of people. However, once I started to think about this and play this out, Kristen Stewart. Why? She's a bit older than the rest of the group, right? Really matured in her actors. And then you have to start to think, what do I want this person to look like? Mm-hmm. And so there are a lot of talented people. The seriously talented people. And then I came to the one, Jodie Comer from Killing Eve.
Yeah.
Why? Now, I'm not going to say why. You're going to have to come back and we'll talk about it, because the character in your book has a lot of depth, and there are a lot of great actors that are out there that are women to play that character. And there's also other actors that could play that character equally well. And so I went back and I got fascinated by how I changed my perceptive of who this person was. And I started out thinking, wait a minute, she is a Caucasian woman. And as I went through the book, I changed my perspective of it. Isn't that fascinating?
It
I'm going to leave you with that thought.
Wow. Thank you. That is great.
I'm going to leave you with that thought. And, you know, and the reason that I got to think about it is this book is meant to really see on the screen. Thank you for today. Thank you so much for everything. Thank you for having your own awakening. And thank you for continuing the journey.
Thank you. I'm so touched by this conversation and your words about the book. So thank you so much.
Mm. We're going to take a short break, everybody. Come back. And by the way, I just got to tell you, this book here, you can get this. You don't have to buy this. You can get it. And I'm telling you, it is the first of the series, but I guarantee you when you read this book, you're going to go to the next book. That's right. That's what I did. Thank you. Let's take a short break. We'll be right back.
The views expressed on this program are those of the host, guests, and callers, and not necessarily those of KKNW, its management, or other advertisers. Contests are the responsibility of the host of this program and not KKNW. This is Alternative Talk 1150 AM, KKNW Seattle, and KNUC 98.9 HD3 Seattle.
And good, warm, sunny Thursday to you. Benny Mathers here for a look at your Alternative Talk AM 1150 traffic update for Around the Sound. Well, good thing, folks. So far, no major blocking or accidents to report at the moment. Some slowing on I-5 northbound as you're heading through the West Seattle Bridge on up into downtown Seattle. Typical for the rush right now. Also, 405 northbound around Northeast 8th Street and Bellevue is heavy through the 520. Everywhere else, traffic's actually looking pretty good. Stay tuned for another hour of the Transformation Talk Radio Network. This time, it's Unapologetically Favored with your host, Courtney Cottrell.
NBC News Radio, I'm Lisa Taylor. President Biden is addressing soaring inflation.
It's called the Inflation Reduction Act of 2022. The bill will lower health care costs for millions of Americans. It will be the most important investment we've ever made in our energy security.
Speaking at the White House, he praised the Senate's new Inflation Reduction Act. The president's remarks followed the release of a report showing the economy shrinking by an estimated 0.9% in the second quarter of this year. The Senate minority leader is blaming Democrats for the state of the U.S. economy. Speaking on the Senate floor, Kentucky Republican Mitch McConnell said Democratic spending policies have prompted soaring inflation. The Commerce Secretary isn't worried about the economy. Gina Raimondo says the business leaders she speaks with aren't concerned.
There's still a lot of reason to feel good about the economy. Obviously, inflation is our number one economic issue, and we're focused on that, and that is coming down.
While GDP is slowing, Raimondo said the economy is still solid based on the fact that companies are hiring and consumers are continuing to spend steadily. Two more complaints have been filed against a Texas doctor accused of prescribing ivermectin to COVID patients. Dr. Mary Talley Bowden calls the accusations political theater. Ivermectin, a drug most commonly used to prevent heartworm in dogs, was studied early in the pandemic and found ineffective against COVID-19. The more than $1 billion Mega Millions jackpot keeps growing until Friday's drawing, and it will take a lot of smarts to manage the winnings. Investment advisor and NYU corporate finance instructor James Berman says a lot of people would tell the lucky winner to take immediate action.
Make it work for you immediately. And I would give the opposite advice, which is, you know, don't just do something, stand there for a while.
He says you should take time to find a lawyer and a tax professional before even cashing the ticket, which should be done anonymously if possible. The cash option lump sum stands at an estimated $648.2 million for Friday's drawing. You're listening to the latest on NBC News Radio.
Do you struggle with occasional nerve aches in your hands or feet? Try Nervive Nerve Relief from the world's number one nerve care company. Nervive tablets contain alpha-lipoic acid to relieve nerve aches, weakness, and discomfort, plus B-complex vitamins to support healthy nerve function as you age. Live life with less nerve discomfort with Nervive Nerve Relief. Learn more at NerviveHealth.com. And try Nervive Pain Relieving Cream to block nerve pain signals at the source. Use as directed.
And let's go ahead and take a look now at your Alternative Talk weather outlook for Thursday. Well, another gorgeous and sunny day again today. High temperatures, a stoch cooler. High temperatures on 89, 90 degrees. Tonight, clear skies yet again. Low temperatures dropping down to a mild 65. For Friday and running up into the weekend, same warm temperatures, upper 80s to low 90s in selected areas with clear skies through the overnights. Low temperatures in the mid-60s.
The views expressed on this program are those of the hosts, guests, and callers, and are not necessarily those of KKNW, its management, or other advertisers. This program is sponsored by Dr. Pat Basile and Transformation Talk Radio.
Get ready for inspirational, motivational, purpose-driven conversation with Courtney Cottrell and Dr. Pat Basile. This is Unapologetically Favored, a show where you will learn to be yourself, love yourself, and walk in your purpose without fear or worry. Courtney is a leader of many and a friend to all. She is a passionate speaker, author, and 21-year active duty Master Chief with the United States Navy. Here to show you that obstacles are everywhere. But the moment you stop letting your setbacks define you, you start to see yourself in a brilliant new light. Find your confidence, own your power, and never apologize for who you are. Unapologetically Favored starts now.
Well, hello, everybody. unapologetically favorite here on Transformation Talk Radio. You are with myself, Courtney Cottrell, and the lovely Dr. Pat. And today's show episode is going to be talking about rejection. Is it for your protection, or is it a redirection of your life and your circumstances of what you're going through? We are just trying to reframe and restructure your mind and your thought process, taking it from the negative to the positive. And again, I am Courtney Cottrell. I am an author, a motivational speaker. I do have 3 books that are available for purchase on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, Walmart, Target. Anywhere there's an online book retail source, you will find my book. You can also check me out at unapologeticallyfavorite.net. So welcome. How are you, Dr. Pat?
I'm good. I like this topic. I like it. Let me tell you why I like this topic, because you didn't know this and I didn't know this when we started to talk about it. Mm-hmm. Rejection, protection, or redirection. We didn't know that I would be so glued to watching the world championship field and track and field going on right now.
Okay, yes.
Start on the 15th, going into the 24th, and we're talking about this because there has been a little bit of all of it.
Right.
There's been a little bit of all of it.
Right.
There have been some of the most odd stories to wrap our minds around, you know, why somebody gets disqualified from a race for being too quick out of the gate, like after the gun goes off.
Right,
I don't even
right.
know what that means. And then there's, you know, Devon Allen, his story of being so fast to 0.001 that not a human being could sit and say, oh my gosh, the machine. I mean, but how do these stories turn out to be something? I don't think when Devon Allen woke up that day that he would realize that he would be the catalyst for
right.
changing the landscape of track and field and automatic timers, do you?
Right. But it is funny because when we start talking about, you know, people's successes and their wins, their rewards, you know, on this end, we always see them when they're in their winning season, right? But we don't really think about the persistence, the work they had to put into it, the continuation of the training and still going on even after somebody told them no, they would never make it. They're not fast enough. They got to get their speed together. They got to do whatever it is a little bit more to get to where they're at. And that's what we're talking about today, just this the rejection. And, you know, as we talk about this topic today, I just want everybody just to remember that, you know, your comeback is always going to be better than that setback. But with that, you have to persevere. You have to keep going even through that rejection piece. You know, it is highly important if you want to get, you know, to your ultimate goal or your destination or where you want to be in life. And you know, when we think about the word rejection, it always comes with a negative thought. The word is being, you know, just negative, period. And we become upset about it. We question what we did wrong, you know, ourselves, our value, our worth. But we are here today to change that narrative, to take the negative out of that word, to give it a more positive vibe so that, you know, you can flourish in your life without feeling rejected, devalued, and unworthy.
Yeah. I love that we're talking about this. I mean, when I first started my show, there were so many people in the New Thought field that wanted me to change a word in my signature. What plays at the beginning of my show? What would you do if you knew you could not fail? I started that question over 20 years ago,
right,
and they didn't
like
the word fail. And I said, okay, I'm not changing it because it's the story of my life.
Right.
I don't know how to what do you want me to say? And I got a lot of people going, what would you do if you knew you could not succeed? I said, okay, that is not me. I want to know, what would you do if you knew you could not fail? Because
right.
we feel failure. We feel right. rejection.
Right.
I've been rejected. You've been rejected.
Oh, honey, let me tell you. But first I'm going to say this. You know, we talk about the failure, first attempt in learning. And I tell people, it's never a failure unless you decide to just lay down and never stand back up ever again. That is when you fail. If you have a setback, it is a learning experience because you learned what not to do. Now that's 1X off and you could try something different because that no just meant next opportunity. But I do remember myself, oh, I've been rejected a couple of times. And I think that's what has made me more resilient and has kind of brought me back from the dead, so to speak, because I'm not going to play victim. I'm not going to lie down and wallow in my emotions and, you know, sit in traffic on the highway, just not wanting to be here anymore. I had to make a choice. Either you know, just let life pass me by, continue to feel sorry about, you know, for myself, or get up and show people better than I can tell people. I had a relationship that went sour, really, really bad. And, you know, I always said I would never be that one to have a relationship, and it just drags me down to the pits. But I turned into that person. You know, I found myself just not wanting to get out of bed, not wanting to people. I didn't want to socialize. I didn't want to be outside. I'm questioning my existence because it hurt. You know, it hurt. And you go, and they say it takes double the amount of time to get over a relationship. You know, I don't know if that's true or not.
I think it's pretty close. And no. I think it does depend, too. You know, especially, I mean, there are stories where, you know, people work together. Hello. My goodness. That's like, like, really? You know, and then there are the whole friend thing. You have a relationship and your friends divide.
Right.
Right? So the reason it's hard is because you're not the only player in the game.
Right.
Right?
It messes with your trust.
Yeah.
You know, you have that loyalty and that trust, and you're giving all of you. You're vulnerable with these individuals. You know, you're giving everything. You're sharing your darkest secrets because you're trusting that they are protecting you. And when you're rejected, or when they, you know, just disrupt that peace and that trust in the relationship, it destroys you mentally, emotionally, spiritually, physically. You are a destroyed individual. But the meat and potatoes of everything is, how do you push past that? How do you get past that? How did you get past yours?
Well, I'll tell you, one of the things that you are going to talk about, and it's really important, is the idea of rejection and mental health. Now, you all have heard me talk about, I come from a family where mental health issues and crisis, or my mom committed suicide. So let's start off with that.
Right.
I buried all my sisters, drugs, alcohol, some kind of addiction going out there. Just saying, my stepmom's heart exploded. So I know a little bit about that. I'm a survivor because there's somebody that stepped out to help me in a way that these folks could not be helped.
Right.
However, when we are rejected, and I'm going to say that because it feels like that. So we got to get real with the word if we're going to help people with it. It's hard when somebody says, don't feel that way. Okay, first of all, you have to understand what's going on with this word. I was rejected from every school I applied to in a doctoral program, every one. Like, I sent out 25 applications.
Wow.
But one. And there was a lesson you learned from that. But there are things that you feel rejected. But when it comes to people, man, that gets at the very core of who we are. But let's talk about this. You and I have something in common. Parents.
Ooh.
Parents.
Rejection.
Our family. When the family rejects you, it's like a capital R. I don't know. What's your experience with that?
So I know. So in my first book, Unapologetically Favorite, you know, I actually talk about that because I have experienced, you know, having an absent parent, my father, and you find yourself questioning, was I a bad child? What did I do wrong? You know, why doesn't he love me? You know, just what is your reasoning behind not wanting to spend time? I mean, I didn't ask to be here, and I'm not going to hunt you down, you know? So if you know I'm here, why are you not reaching out to me or, you know, checking on me and being my support system when I need you? But as I've gotten older, you know, I think about him, what he was going through probably when, you know, I was coming into this world, and the mindset behind that, and the longer, and this is for anybody with parental rejection, or, you know, don't blame yourself. It's not your fault. I promise you it's not your fault. Sometimes, you know, our parents are doing only what they know. And because we expect them to be so great, you know, we elevate them to a level that they are not on. And it only upsets us when they are not meeting the expectations that we're putting upon them. So we become broken. So I had to kind of come back down a little bit and just say, you know what? You know, I'm going to love my father regardless. If he was to call me right now and say something was wrong, I would be on my way to go make sure he was okay. One, because that is my father. He helped bring me into this world. I appreciate him. But, you know, right now he's probably thinking, I don't have an answer to any question that she has to ask me right now.
Hmm.
So it's easier to avoid me than it is to come back in my life at the age of 41 years old.
Yeah. You know, I mean, I don't know what people think about this, but these rooms go deep.
They're
deep. And, you know, Courtney and I can be talking about these things right now because we're at a point where we've had some time, right? There's been some time. And what I mean by there's been some time. But I will tell you, I am the person that came home one day and found all of my teenage belongings on the front, in bags in the front yard.
Oh, wow.
And the door locked and could not get back in the house. And it was one of the most painful experiences of my life.
Right.
Not because of that, because I had a brother, a
right.
younger brother,
mm-hmm.
who stood at the door as I was standing there trying to make sense of what does this mean. And then I was told, get out. And there I was, just
right.
get out. And, you know, there were a lot of things we could talk about what led up to that and how that happened. To look back and think, I may never be coming back here. I may never see that brother again. I may
right.
never be back here. I may never be in that house. That came before, where am I going to go, you see?
Right.
Now, I'm not going to spend this show talking about how the wounds were repaired in that. They were.
Mm-hmm.
And what led up to that and what changed it and what my part was. But in the end, it's still a rejection. It still
is.
Hurts.
Oh,
right?
Yeah. Never forget it. You never forget it. But it's all about how, you know, you allow yourself to heal from that. Because if not, you're never gonna move forward in your life. It just won't happen.
Yeah, that's why I brought it up, Courtney, because, you know, one of the things is it's one thing to have 25 schools just say, nope, you can't come here. We get over those things.
Right.
Right? Or we have other options. Okay, you don't like me? I'm going to wait for this other school. Actually, Linda helped me with that. But you know what? Okay, I don't go to school. I'm going to go to Seattle, and I'm going to just party up on Capitol Hill with my Harley Davidson and my Collie. That's what I did.
You were living life at a young age.
I was like, okay, all right. I'm not. But the relationships between people and rejection,
right.
how do we focus on that and look at that rejection, protection, or redirection aspect?
So, you know, I have this thing that I share with people sometimes when they're talking to me and I get into my motivational mode. And it was just recently, I think like last week, I started sharing a story about how we always want to grip the steering wheel of our life. We want to grip the steering wheel of our life and drive everything ourselves to where we feel we are supposed to be going. But sometimes that steering wheel, you might find yourself trying to go to the right and the steering wheel is being yanked to the left. You know, you have to let go and trust the process, because, you know, the purpose of our lives, you know, even, you know, if that includes going against the grain, our family, our friends, our coworkers, whatever, you know, we want to drive that purpose and we don't really care, but we have to figure out how are we going to become disciplined and obedient and trust the process of life so that you understand that everything happens for a reason. Because when somebody tells you no, or when you feel like you're being rejected, I promise you it's for a reason. That setback is a setup for a comeback. But you will never understand or never, you know, get to your blessing if you continue to hold on to what is tearing you apart. If you continue to hold on what you're supposed to let go, you're never going to grow and you're going to miss your blessing. You're going to miss your blessing because you decided to still keep turning right when the steering wheel was trying to go left. So the challenge for everybody today is let go of your steering wheel and see what happens. Become obedient. Become disciplined. And trust the process of life.
Yeah. The thing that is part of this and is part of this conversation is to really understand what is the impact and what can I do about it. And I think that's what you're covering right now. You know, it is really this conversation where as we're looking at this and we're having a conversation about it, it doesn't mean we don't look at it and understand, but I like it. You know, there's that song, Jesus Take the Wheel, right?
I know. That's what
you
I
know
got
that
from.
Song? Yeah, that song. But, you know, part of what people can learn is not just about how to do this, but how you did it. Let's talk about you for a minute. You have created so many ways to help people.
Right.
And I want to make sure they know how to get copies of your book, but also to get copies to find out how to work with you. Let's give people some information, because this is not just you and me talking about this. This is about understanding, talking about it, but then putting things in place to help other
right.
people. Isn't that what
right.
you've done?
Yeah, so if you, you know, I ask everybody, you know, if you hear me, you like me, you love the conversations me and Dr. Pat are having, you know, follow me on all my social media platforms. I am on Facebook at Unapologetically Favorite. I'm on Instagram at Unapologetically C-A-K. You can also find me on Twitter at the letter U Favorite Podcast. And you can also check out my website, unapologeticallyfavorite.com, where you can actually catch up on all the past podcasts and conversations and everything that I do as far as media and broadcast. And you can also purchase any one of three of my books, Unapologetically Favored, Wake Up, Turn Up, Bless Up, and Never Be Afraid to Eat Alone. Everything that I do is about motivation, inspiring people, because, you know, I've been rejected. I felt that pain. I know that hurt. You know, sometimes I catch myself still licking the wounds. But, you know, it's all about how you heal and persevere and cope, just trying to find a different way of looking at what's going on in your life. So yes, please, by all means, check me out. Send me some inspiration, motivation.
You know, I was looking at something this morning, so talk about this for a minute. You know, let's talk about what the difference is between me holding the wheel. I'm holding the wheel.
Mm-hmm.
But you have to know, look, here's the thing, right? Let's just talk. So we're going to talk about Jesus Hold the Wheel. That's a little country
okay.
song, I think,
okay.
there, right there
yes.
with that, right? We got that one, Jesus Take the Wheel. But there's another country song. You got to know when to hold them, and you got to know when to fold them.
Mm-hmm.
And that the meaning of that song, for me, is exactly what we're talking about today. There's a point in time where you get, where you realize that you need for God to do for you, or whatever you believe in, God, Allah, you know, Ba'ahu'llah, whatever you believe in, to do for you what you are not able to do for yourself at this time.
Right. Right.
That's part of the rejection, right? It's also part of, you know, the redirection part, because
right.
redirection, a big part of redirection, just like you've been doing since I've met you, that's what you've been doing. But you've been creating and redirecting and creating and redirecting. What have you learned from that?
You know, taking your energy, the negative, and letting it fuel your positive, that's pretty much what I've been doing over like the past, what, like 4 years now, or pretty much like all my life. But, you know, letting that negativity fuel you, letting that anger, that upset, you know, your personal roller coaster that you find yourself on when you're rejected from whatever it is, because we all go on this personal roller coaster. You know, your emotions are going, you're depressed 1 minute, you're happy 1 minute, you're crying the next minute. Now you're mad, you're angry because how can they do this to you? You know what, then you get really angry, like forget them, you know, I spit on a grave that they're going to be buried in. Like you start coming up with these things. But, you know, it's getting through that. I've learned from everything that I have been through that everything has a reason. Had I not had the parental rejection, I would not be able to relate to other people that go through that and be that example of you can still make it in your life and become what you want to become. You know, had I not had a very sour relationship, I probably would not be cherishing and being grateful for the relationship that I have now and doing, you know, just being happy because I know what it feels like to have the worst. So everything that we go through with this rejection and, you know, ultimately it's a lesson. A lot of times it's a piece of protection from what could have went wrong. You could have been in a very bad relationship. That's why that person never called you back after that date. You could have been in a bad business organization. That's why you did not get hired at that job that you were planning for. You know, there's so many things that could happen, and your life is taking a different turn towards that blessing or that wish or that want that you asked for. So take your hands off the wheel, be obedient, and let it happen. Let it happen, but try to cope as you're going through that emotional roller coaster.
Can I tell you what I had a little – okay. Can I tell you what I had a little moment about today?
What? Please
okay.
do.
All right. Okay. So I never know what's going to hit me. And then I have to stop for a minute and I have to realize what is it about this that's hitting me. And I think for me, I love track and field. I'm watching it. I also love the sport that I play in. I'm in a championship. I'm in a state championship this weekend.
No.
And I don't know what it was about a headline that I read this morning. And then I thought, oh, wait a minute. We got to stop for a minute because we're talking about people that are unapologetically favored. And what I reacted to was a headline that came out of one of the magazines covering the track and field.
Mm-hmm.
But it was about Alicia Schmidt, the German athlete, the world's sexiest athlete. So the headline is, world's sexiest athlete, Alicia Schmidt, suffers heartbreak at the World Championships. Okay. I don't know if she's the world's sexiest athlete. I mean, I could point to a couple of people right now.
Who voted for that?
Like, I could tell you, like, there's a couple of people going to be running right now that just pretty sexy. They're just pretty sexy women. But seriously, so I have this weird thing, and what I realize is, wait a minute. She gets to be unapologetically favored for being herself.
Right.
Whether I agree or not agree. So let's talk about this, because 9 times out of 10, aren't we hit up with what other people are thinking or saying about us? And isn't that really what's fueling this whole conversation today?
Right. Yes. We are so consumed with worry about what everybody has to say. And it's funny you said that because, you know, over the past 2 days, I don't know if you remember, but, you know, one of the Navy carriers, the USS George Washington, was all in the headlines because of all the suicides that they encountered with some of their sailors.
Yep.
So I had the honor of visiting them, spending time with them over the last 2 days, doing a coaching leadership course with their leadership on the ship. And during one of the course's classes, their chaplain came on over the loudspeaker, and he did a prayer that Mother Teresa wrote. And I don't remember exactly all the words. I got to find it because I said I'm going to look for that prayer because I loved it. And the words kind of went like, you know, people are going to talk about you. Let them talk about you. They're going to do it anyway. The times you feel like giving up because somebody said that you couldn't do it, show them and do it anyway. And I love how that theme went because we have to realize it doesn't matter what somebody thinks about us. It's all about how we feel, our confidence level, you know, our self-esteem, and what do we think and love about ourselves. That's it. So when you are rejected, when somebody tells you no, when you get turned down, you know what? It doesn't sting as bad because you know that your time is coming. You know that that no just meant next opportunity. You know that maybe that rejection was for your protection because you might have been stuck in a spot where you would never be able to get out of, and now you're like, I should not have done this, and I'm living with regret. So, you know, don't worry about what somebody thinks about you when you're going through this process. Do it anyway, because they're going to talk about you anyway. I just love that.
I love that. And, you know, maybe during a break you can find that prayer, but I think that what you just shared is really important, because isn't that prayer really the essence of what we started to talk about? Jesus, take the wheel, or let go of the wheel, or whatever your version of the wheel is. If you have a death grip on the wheel and your knuckles are white and your hands are starting to bleed, that is a little indication that you are just holding on way too tight. But let's talk about why we do that, okay? Because this is really what we're going to talk about when we come back, because there's a reason why we hold on to this stuff. There's a reason why we're holding on to the death grip. Like people that said, nope, you are not going to be in a relationship with me anymore. And we're like, oh, really? I'm not good enough. You're not what? You're called to be alone. What does that mean? I mean, we could go through this a million times.
Right.
But what we do with this, and congratulations on you for being able to help people. You and I know, we know what mental illness is about.
Yes.
I am the surviving member of my family.
Yes.
I am my mom, suicide. My sisters, all three of them. Drugs, alcohol. I watched my beautiful sister Joyce, throat cancer, cocaine, or do that to you people.
Mm-hmm.
I watched it. I watched my stepmom's heart explode.
Mm-hmm.
There aren't words for this. But what can we say to those people that don't want that legacy, that can get some help? And here's what I'm happy about and not happy about. I'm happy about the story you just told because we're shining light on mental illness.
Right.
I'm happy about that. Simone Biles, you know, you're always, I'm always going to have your T-shirt. There's no question about it. I don't care. I'm going to buy whatever you make. I'm happy about that. Mm-hmm. What I'm not happy about is how we're not responding to the call to action.
Right.
And how insidious the nature is, and not everybody has a Courtney Cottrell. Courtney, why don't we go to a break? But before we do, let's tell folks how they can find out more about you. Tell folks what you're up to. I like to call you Master Chief.
Oh, yes, Master Chief, United States Navy. You know, getting ready for retirement, though. It's very soon in my future, though. I am going to say that. But, yes, by all means, you know, follow me on my social media, Facebook, Unapologetically Favorite, Instagram, Unapologetically C-A-K, Twitter, the letter U, big U, Favorite, podcast. And, yeah, my website at unapologeticallyfavorite.net. You can actually reach everything if you go on my website, including my books, my motivational apparel and gift line. I also have that. I almost forgot about that, too. I actually still have that as well. That's doing pretty well. So, you know, check it out. Be my friend. Tell me your motivational story so we can actually share you for the world to see. So, yeah.
By the way, I want to say this. One of the hardest things for people like me to learn in my life is how to reach out for help. And what I want to say to all of you is Courtney is there for you all to reach out. Courtney is there for you. And that is a thing that I think back on my life that wasn't available for my mom, for sure. Wasn't available for my sisters, for sure. You know, it wasn't available because, first of all, you know, even talking about things that had to do with mental health was just, like, not the thing.
Taboo. It was taboo.
And if you come from certain families, if you come from certain heritages, if you come from certain cultures, you don't even say that word. When we come back, and by the way, that is a form of inner rejection. See, when you are invisible, you are being rejected. When we come back, how you cope with all of that? That's what Courtney's going to walk us through. She's going to take us on it because you will need to cope with it in this world. Right, Courtney?
Let's heal. Let's heal it.
Yep. And do not take somebody unfriending you as a life-changing event.
Right. That was protection.
That's protection and redirection. Right. Let's take a short break, everybody. We'll be right back.
One day, I arrived early to meet a friend for lunch. One of the wait staff welcomed me with a beautiful smile. It was everyday magic. We experience this kind of thing all the time, but it was magical because the smile made me feel happy and content. The Sanskrit word for smile is smitam. It means fully blossomed, fully bloomed and expanded, like an empty field suddenly full of spring flowers. In the same way, a bright smile given freely changes everything. It can warm the heart. It can reassure or inspire or uplift. It can bring joy or lift a burden. Try it for yourself. Smitam, a smile, and discover a little everyday magic. Join me, Sarah Main, on Damayanti, the show for your soul, where we discover everyday uplifting magic together. And check out my website, damayanti.store.
Called the Oprah of Radio by her listeners, award-winning host Dr. Pat Basile is blowing the doors off of traditional talk radio. Get ready for an energizing delivery and powerful interviews with leaders in the field of human potential. Dr. Pat's fresh, new perspective on living life full out has catapulted her show to the top of talk radio. Tune in and Dr. Pat will help you thrive instead of merely survive. Visit thedrpatshow.com. That's thedrpatshow.com for listening times in your area.
Welcome back to Unapologetically Favorite, here with myself, your host, Courtney A. Cottrell, and the beautiful Dr. Pat. We, you know, if you're just tuning in, we're talking about rejection. Is it for your protection or redirection? But before we continue on, listen, if you aren't doing it right now, check me out on my social media platform, Unapologetically Favorite on Facebook, Unapologetically CAK on Instagram, and also on Twitter at the letter U Favorite Podcast. You know, we love sharing stories about motivation and inspiration. You know, both of us are just trying to be who we needed, you know, at a certain point in our life. So we love sharing this platform. But, you know, yeah, we're talking about rejection. And right now, you know, the question is, how do we cope with rejection? Because rejection sends you on your own little personal roller coaster, and it can make you feel like you're not worthy, you're not wanted, you're not valued, and it can cut deep. And depending on the relationship from which the rejection came, you know, sometimes rejection can hurt a little bit more than others, right?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And, you know, let's just define rejection for a minute, because a lot of people may think, okay, rejection means, let's say, for example, somebody has to do something for you. But the word is really used more broadly. And this is why I think earlier on in the show you talked about rejection, protection, or redirection. Mm-hmm. And some people may think, why are you talking about athletes? Why are you talking about athletes and rejection? Well, look, clearly some of these people suffered what I consider to be rejection in the hands of other people, not using their brains very well.
Right.
You know, I mean, Devon Allen, 0.001 of a second reaction time. But clearly it's how you take that in. You know, if you lose a race, you're losing a race.
Right.
People don't always put it under rejection. But there are some things that are clearly in the range of rejection.
Right.
Divorce. You get the divorce, and if you're not the one, like, doing the divorcing, you're, like, the other one. How do you think that feels, Courtney?
Oh, listen. Because that's somebody, again, it goes back to, you know, you have been vulnerable with this person. You have built a strong emotional, spiritual, you know, mental, everything that has an all at the end. You have, you know, shared that and built that over time with the individual and given all your love. And I cannot even, you know, I have been divorced, but, you know, the thing with that for me was I was okay with it because I just, my mindset is a little bit different. But for those who are on the receiving end of getting a divorce, mm-hmm. Oh, my God, how your life has flipped upside down, because in your mind you probably never saw it coming. You know, you had plans and goals and just things to do, and now you feel like hit the reset button on your life. And what are you going to do now? How do you rebuild? How do you cope? Because if one person says, I don't want you, you're not worthy enough of my love, you're going to think that everybody from here on out is going to feel the same way.
Yeah.
So, you know, trying to figure out how to cope, that's the hard part, because we don't know how to do it. We don't know how to cope.
Okay. And I got to really get to something here that is really important to me right now. And I think probably just because I got off talking to Dr. Crystal Lee Crane here not too long ago, there are rejections that affect an entire group of people.
Mm-hmm.
And so let's talk about that. It doesn't – look, you can make a political opinion right now about Roe v. Wade. That is not what I'm talking about.
Right.
I'm talking about a group of people. They're called women.
Right.
Who feel like their bodies that's their right. Then I'm talking about other groups of people that feel like they have been not included in society.
Right.
Right. I mean, and you could look down to color. You could look down to sexual orientation. You could be looking at our transgender population right now, who is feeling highly threatened.
Right.
Little claws putting that RV Wade thing. But there are people that have experienced this level of rejection their entire lives and still do.
Right.
I cannot even imagine what that is like. Because when the rejection is real,
mm-hmm.
like I'm meaning you are now made invisible. And it happens within the family unit. I mean, I got relatives that are banned from the family. They're just like banned from the family. But there are so many layers of this that people have to deal with. Let's talk about the fact that we have to get at the layers in order to cope and heal.
We do. And, you know, just to get this out there, you know, I'm going to share this. You know, if you're going through this and you're dealing with the rejection right now, you're dealing with this setback, you know, this emotional, personal roller coaster that you are on and you're questioning your existence, you know, your worth, your value, your confidence, you know, it's sunk. You know, just I want you to just listen to this. You know, the first step that you need to do when it comes to coping with your rejection is to acknowledge where your pain is coming from. Acknowledge where your pain is coming from. Understand where your pain is coming from. You know, and I think sometimes people don't really think they might be like an emotional outburst and don't really understand, like, hey, the reason you're like this is because you haven't healed these wounds over here. And, you know, I think, like, subconsciously, maybe you're still thinking about it. It's still weighing on your soul and your spirit and your mental. And you're trying to disconnect, but you're still connected because you're having these outbursts. But acknowledge your pain. Don't blame yourself. Don't blame yourself for it. You know, sometimes the people or the things that we think are good for us, we might not be good for them. And it's okay, because you get to a certain point, something fizzles out or it doesn't happen. It's okay. Reframe your mind to know that, hey, you know what? This was my protection from whatever may have been in your future that you were unaware of, or it's going to be the redirection towards what is ultimately supposed to be meant for you. Find your resiliency. Oh, sorry, go ahead.
Well, I want to talk about this for a minute, because let's tell people what redirection looks like. I mean, I think people have a sense, really, when we say the word rejection.
Mm-hmm.
But when we come to protection or redirection, we can really look at that. And it really is based on what we do after the rejection, right?
Right.
Talk about that for a minute, because even if you move to redirection and protection, you still may have some healing to do.
Right. But that's where that resiliency piece comes in. It's trying to find out, you know, what is your purpose when you wake up in the morning? What is it that, you know, now, you know, you got to find that now that you don't have that happiness that you had or you thought you were going to get, okay, now let's not put all your eggs in one basket. Leave some eggs out for something else so that, you know, when that basket falls, all them eggs in that basket just break, you still have these eggs over here that you can fall on, you know, and it's trying to find that passion, find that healing, finding that friend, that pressure release valve, so to speak, that you can, you know, go to and just cry on their shoulder and get it out. But then say, you know what, let me wipe these tears off my face, put my big girl panties on, and go out here and show people better than I can tell them. Because a lot of people are sitting around waiting to see how you react from a situation. And when we are balled up in the floor crying and playing victim because we have fallen, you know, they win. They win over us. Don't give nobody that satisfaction. Get up, go out there and conquer life.
And I got to tell you, COVID has really opened up the door for a much bigger conversation about how many people have felt rejected. How many people have gone through? I mean, that's in itself. But I don't think we need to go through the details of that for everybody listening to this to agree that you all have been faced with some circumstances in your life that you never would have had to face before. And you have seen the face of rejection time and time again, over and over again. You've seen it. You've had to learn new ways of being. Some of you have found yourself without a career anymore. You have found yourself without a job anymore. You know, if you're a small business, you're scratching your head right now because you got your notice from the government for your loan, your EI disaster loan. You got your nasty government letter that just came to you, very little personal anything in there saying, hello, we're not going to defer this anymore. You need to pay up. And you're thinking to yourself, well, wait a minute, I'm trying to bounce back. And there's something really devastating about the word trying.
Oh,
there's something that when you use the word trying, you are really crying. So when you say trying, you're really crying. Right? You know what I'm saying? When you say, I'm trying, but you're really crying.
Right.
Right? Trying is a word that we use to hide the emotional feeling that we have already failed.
Right. Right, it's a cover-up. And I'm like, and for me, I'm like, when you say trying, I'm like, that's like saying you're almost pregnant. Either you're doing it or you're not doing it. Which one? You can't be almost. You know, you can't be almost pregnant. Either you are or you're not, you know? Don't try, just do. Because the way you start to think is the way you start to act and you start to live and you start to believe. If you're always in that in-between stage, you're never going to be confident. you're always going to be kind of skeptical. So it has to be the black or white. Either you are or you're not. You know, I don't really like trying. When I'm trying, like, I did find that poem, though. I did find that poem, if you want to hear it.
Yeah, I want to hear the poem, because then that's going to lead us into a personal story. Well, not personal, but a story you're going to share.
Okay.
Because so I love this story that you got coming on here. Anytime you want to be talking about potatoes, eggs, and coffee, I'm like all about it. But I want to hear what the prayer. You want to tell us about it?
A prayer. It was found written on the wall in Mother Teresa's home for children in Calcutta. And it says, people are often unreasonable, irrational, and self-centered. Forgive them anyway. If you're kind, people may accuse you of selfish, ulterior motives. Be kind anyway. If you are successful, you will win some unfaithful friends and some genuine enemies. Succeed anyway. If you are honest and sincere, people may deceive you. Be honest and sincere anyway. What you spend years creating, others could destroy overnight, but create anyway. If you find serenity and happiness, some may be jealous, but be happy anyway. The good you do today will often be forgotten. Do good anyway. Give the best you have, and it will never be enough. Give your best anyway. And the final analysis, it is between you and God. It was never between you and them anyway. I love this poem.
I love that poem, too. I need to hear that, too. I want to thank you so much for doing that. Thank you so much for reading that, because it is a great reminder of not only certain lessons in the way she lived her life.
Right.
Because this is a woman that did not get the support to be doing what she was doing.
No.
Let's just be very clear about that.
Right.
Yeah. Forever.
Right.
But she did it anyway.
Right.
But in this world we live in, there are things that we can observe about ourselves. And there's just like this really cool story that you're going to share with us now.
Oh, I love this little story. I thought it was the cutest little thing, and it kind of just makes you think, who are you? When it comes down to everything, who are you? So the story is potato, egg, and coffee, and it says, once upon a time, a daughter complained to her father that her life was miserable and that she didn't know how she was going to make it, and we all have been at that point. She was tired of fighting and struggling all the time. It seemed just as one problem was solved, another one soon followed. Her father, who was a chef, took her to the kitchen. He filled three pots with water and placed each pot on a high fire. Once the three pots began to boil, he placed potatoes in one pot, eggs in the second pot, and ground coffee beans in the third pot. He then let them sit and boil, and without saying a word to his daughter, they boiled. The daughter then moaned, was impatiently waiting, wondering what her father was doing. After about 20 minutes, he turned off the burners. He took the potatoes out of one pot and placed them in a bowl. He pulled the eggs out of the pot and put them in a bowl. He then ladled the coffee out and placed the coffee in a cup. Turning to her, he asked his daughter, what do you see? She replied, potatoes, eggs, and coffee. He said, look closer and touch the potatoes. She did, and she noticed that the potatoes were soft. He then asked her to take an egg and break it. After pulling off the shell, she observed the hard-boiled egg. Finally, he asked her to sip the coffee. Its rich aroma brought a smile to her face. And she said, Father, what does this mean? He then explained that the potatoes, the eggs, and the coffee beans had each faced the same adversity, the hot boiling water. However, each one reacted differently. The potato went in strong and hard and unrelenting, but in boiling water, it became very soft and weak. The egg was fragile, with the thin outer shell protecting the liquid that was on the inside until it was placed into the hot pot of boiling water. Then the inside of the egg became hard. However, the ground coffee beans were unique in that after they were exposed to the boiling water, they changed the water and created something entirely new. Which are you? The dad asked the daughter. When adversity knocks on your door, how do you respond? Are you a potato, an egg, or a coffee? And the moral of this story is that things in life happen around us all the time. They happen to us. But the only thing that truly matters is what happens inside of us. Are you a potato, an egg, or are you the coffee?
I love that story. And I love that the story is, talking to you know, somebody young. Because I don't know about you, I've been all three at different points in my life, and I would like to think right now I'm the coffee.
Yes.
And, you know, I'm like so many people. When you turn 40, I mean, I really did. I went from, I think, the egg, and I really did. I remember this, the potato and the egg thing. And I looked in the mirror one day, and I looked and I said, I don't like potatoes and eggs anymore. But I didn't quite know what to do. That's
right.
A transitional piece, isn't it? And that's what
it
we're
is.
Talking about today. And
right.
Isn't that at the core of what you help people get to?
Right. You know, instead of, and it kind of goes with, I was scrolling through TikTok one day, and I came upon an interview with the co-founder of Twitter, Biz Stone. And he started talking about, it was like opportunities, right? Opportunities. And I am all about opportunities. And it kind of went parallel with what my thought process is when it comes to opportunities. And he said, you know, opportunities can be manufactured. But when he said it, I was like, that really doesn't, let me see. But it makes sense. You know, we want success in life. We want to be wealthy. We want to be leaders. We want to make an impact. We want to have a legacy. But we don't understand the hills and the mountains that we're going to have to climb in order to get that, because we are in an Amazon Prime era where we want to order our success on Amazon and have it dropped off on our front porch. It doesn't work that way. And a lot of people miss the blessings in their life because, you know, to get to that, it requires work. So, you know, when we come back to change your environment. Create your opportunity. If somebody tells you no or you feel like you're being rejected, you know what? Go somewhere else and do it anyway. Go somewhere else and start manufacturing your opportunity. Go somewhere else and be the coffee. That's what matters. You can't always wait for somebody to come to you and give you what you want. Sometimes that rejection is meant for a redirection, because it's supposed to redirect your thinking to say, you know what? If you're not going to give me what I want, I'm going to go over here. I'm going to work on it, create it. You're going to be mad, but I'm going to create it anyway.
Yeah. I want to talk to something else, and I would love for you to talk to it too, because this is a point that we've made in previous shows we've done together, but I need to bring this point up.
Okay.
There are points in time in life when you have this realization, and you have to look around at who's in your world.
Right.
I don't mean like peripherally in your world, like,
right.
You know, the people you played ping pong with, you know, although I am a little bit fussy sometimes about that.
I'm going to see this one day.
Yeah. But here's the thing. When you get to this place and you have the realization that you're turning into coffee, or you want to be coffee, you will find that as you look in your world, there are some people that you will be bringing with you, and there will be some people you have to decide not to bring with you.
Yes.
Because if you do not do that, you will turn into coffee that is the most bitter, can't drink that stuff, like my dad used to make that mud that a spoon could stand up in. But you see, we've talked about that in previous shows, but it's all part of this as well, isn't it?
It's part of the process, and that's another part of, you know, all of this deals with personal growth. All of this deals with, you know, the positivity, the inspiration, the motivation, you know, the purpose-driven lifestyle that we all want to have. And rejection is part of that. You know, being successful requires, you know, a little rejection. But when you're going through that stage of rejection, you're going to lose some people. When you start creating and doing, you know, what you are passionately in love with doing, you're going to lose some people, because they might become jealous, because in their mind, you're not supposed to be doing more than them, because y'all are in a relationship, whatever that relationship, you know, makeup may be. Not intimate, could be just be friends or family or whatever. But you will find that some people will fall off. They will fall off. But we have to remember that we all have the same 24 hours in a day. If I decide to get up every morning and work out and I'm disciplined, I'm obedient, I'm doing what I have to do, I'm going to lose the way that I say I'm going to lose, you know? And you can't get mad if you're still in the bed in your sleep. You had the same 24 hours in a day like I did. But that's where we're at.
Yeah. I mean, this is one of these things that, you know, we can have on an entire another hour in conversation on.
Ooh.
Because the difference between the people, and I have to say out front to everybody, just to be clear, the decisions that I've had to make when discovering that I wanted to be the coffee. Wasn't quite the coffee yet. I knew I didn't want to be the egg anymore, and I knew I definitely was going to have to live with the fact that everybody sees me as a potato. So I'm just, you know, but this decision point where you're so, you get that awareness now, like what is possible for you. You get it. You may not know how, but you get it. The hardest decisions I've ever made is sifting through and learning discernment and then having the courage to say, you know, I've loved our journey up to this point, but this is what I need in my life right now. I need the support for the decisions I'm making. And it's really hard to be around you when you want me to stay the way I was. The hardest thing that anybody could face is when I decided to stop drinking. I never got more people that wanted to give me a drink than, oh, my God. But, right, this is really a crossroads, isn't it?
And, it is.
You know, Courtney, I know this is at the core of what you do.
And it, and that, you know, I remember I don't want to say I had a friend, you know, because with me, I don't think things are ever really done, ended, over. But, you know, we were very, very, very close. And, you know, just over time, you kind of just outgrow people. And that is okay. That's part of life's process. Everybody's not meant to go on a journey with you. So if you have to, you know, cut ties, and that even includes with your family, it's okay, because you have to do for you. You have to cope and change and be the coffee and, you know, manufacture your opportunities and understand the word no means next opportunity. You have to focus on you, because people are going to do what they're going to do. They're going to bring you down. They're going to talk about you. But you got to always remember to just do it. Anyway, that's about to be a whole other topic on the show. I can tell you that right now.
I think we have to do that show, because I think it really is the reason you and I are still alive and well and have a vision for our future. I mean,
because we did it anyway.
But I will tell you now, I wake up every day of my life in deep gratitude for my best friend Linda and her family, who, despite how crazy I was when I was younger, loved me, stayed with me, helped me, and Linda's mom showed me how to set a table properly.
The place setting, yes.
And that's part of the journey, too, isn't it, Courtney?
It is. It is. And that's what we want people to know. You know, life is not going to be easy, but it's all about the ones that surround you at your darkest times. They motivate you, lift you up, and add value to your life, so you'll never have to have a moment to devalue yourself. Keep pushing through.
Courtney, what a great show. Thank you. Again, please tell people how they can get a hold of you.
Yes.
We've already talked about now like two or three future shows, like in this show that we got.
Our show, right? That's why I love this conversation with you. We are like on a roll. This is why we do what we do. But, yes, if you haven't done so already, check me out on Facebook. I'm on Unapologetically Favorite. Instagram, Unapologetically, the letter C-A-K right after that. Twitter, the letter U, Favorite Podcast. And also check out my website, unapologeticallyfavorite.net. You will find a plethora of things on there, past podcasts, new podcasts, all that good stuff. So please, yeah, send me some motivational. I love talking to people. I'm a people person.
Yeah, and I want to say to people, you want to know something? You know what Unapologetically Favorite is for me? I'm just going to end with this, because I know you all are doing it right now. I can feel it. Here it is. You are. What you're doing is you're saying, I'm sorry for being as great as I am. I'm sorry for being favored. I'm sorry for, you know, being in the world and being of the world. I'm sorry.
Right.
I'm sorry. We want to help you say,
I'm not sorry.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
I am unapologetically favored.
Unapologetically favored. Everybody.
I am unapologetically favored. So, okay, root for me in my table tennis tournament this weekend. Courtney Cottrell. Courtney Cottrell, I'm Dr. Pat. We'll see you next time.
Thanks.
thanks for tuning in to Unapologetically Favored. When you stop worrying about what others think and start walking in your purpose, you allow yourself to grow, you discover all the gifts you have to offer the world, and everything begins to shift from uncertainty to possibility. Can't get enough? Unapologetically Favored is also a book. Bring home a copy and learn more about Courtney by visiting unapologeticallyfavored.com. We will see you right here next time. And until then...